BMches.
Hello, everybody. My name's Paul, and I'm here with my wife, Sanya. Been a while, isn't it?
It has been a long while, way longer than we expected it to be.
Yes, our hiatus, which began after our last episode, the Dave Megan interview, which I think went out just before Christmas.
Wow.
It wasn't meant to last nearly 4 months, as it has done.
Oh my goodness, so we've gone from Christmas to Easter.
Yeah, wow.
Crazy times.
Wow. We missed Shrove Tuesday entirely.
Oh,
God.
How could we?
Sorry. Basically, we're going to get into where we've been and why we've taken a while a bit later in the episode, because we thought we would kick off this return.
Of the Jedi.
No, not of the Jedi, Sanya. Of Biampod.
We're Jedi by religion.
Okay, why are you being whimsy? No, don't start with
not,
whimsy.
We're not.
Don't.
Because I feel like that would be a lie.
My God, just interrupt my flow when I'm trying to explain what we're about to do by going off on one about Jedi.
Pardon me, Paul.
Wow.
I'd like to be a Jedi.
Are you still doing it? Are you still waffling on about Jedi?
Wouldn't it be cool, though, to be a Jedi?
No, you're just doing it to wind me up. I can see the look on your face. Why are your lips are moist? I can see you. I can see from across the room here. Basically, you're being dazzled by your shiny lips.
I had to put some lip balm on them because they were
feeling... You're drooling.
No. It's just like, it's that stuff.
What stuff?
The pink thing. Pink tube.
Well, we're off to a great start. Shiny lips. Pink tubes. We're back.
It is a pink tube.
Yes, it is. We're back, everyone. Remember us? We're that Meridian podcast. That one. Right. So let's have a bit of a catch up. The big news in Meridian circles, of course, was that Pete wasn't well.
I know.
Badly
that
not
was
well.
A shock.
It was a shock. I think it was a shock to everyone, not least the band, by the sounds of it. If you've listened to Corona Diaries, I think everyone was a little bit concerned. So Pete appears to be on the mend, though, after his operation, which is lovely to see. The band have bought him a lightweight bass so that he doesn't have to...
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
...swing his heavy one around.
That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. It's very sort of 80s, the bass. It's sort of a kind of, you know... thin sort of, you know, I don't know, like you'd see twats play in the 80s.
Oh, that's unnecessary.
Well, but it's perfect for Pete.
I'm sure everyone in the 80s thought they were super cool.
Yeah, probably.
And they still are, like, come
yes.
on.
So, obviously, you know, we're a bit late doing this, but we wish Pete all the best and his continued recovery.
Yes.
It has, of course.
It's a long recovery, isn't it?
It's a long recovery. Yeah, well, according to H on Corona Diaries, they're not really going to get back into the studio together until May.
What? Oh, my goodness.
They're not
wow.
doing any writing until then.
Wow.
Because Mike Hunter apparently is busy remixing, I think he said, Meridian.com. So they can't get, you know, so Mike needs that time then to catalogue all the stuff they've jammed so far. Because I don't know if you know this, Sanya, but Meridian write by jamming. I don't know if that's ever been mentioned in an interview or...
Get out of here.
Meridian, get this, Meridian write by jamming.
No way.
Yeah. I know, it's news to me.
I never would have known that.
It's news to me. So I guess, I don't know, it's going to delay the album, isn't it? Better not be another 6 years, for the love of God. You know, another 6 years, I'm not waiting.
No one said it was going to be 6 years, Paul. You have just decided that, this instant, that it was going to be 6 years.
Meridian albums have a tendency to slip and slide from their original... schedule.
It wasn't 6 years between the previous.
Yes, it was.
No, the ones before.
Okay. Yeah.
It?
Well, if you look
I'm
at
literally
it,
just
it's been
pulling.
It's been getting slower and slower. They've been slowing down. What do you want from the next Meridian album? What would you like them to do? I mean, this is completely hypothetical.
Oh, I haven't thought about that.
Nor have I, really.
I want them to surprise us.
Oh, surprise us.
Yeah.
I would say...
I'd like some... maybe one or two epic kind of big...
I think that's a given.
Yeah.
Given you've got Mr. Cut and Paste at the mixing desk.
I love those.
Me too. Well, yeah, me too. I'm not complaining.
I would love a song that makes me cry.
Oh, yeah.
They're always good.
But is that now... Because
Pressure on them, though. No, pressure on them, because, like, I don't want them to think, like, oh my God, I've got nothing that's going to make someone cry.
But that's what I was going to say. Care is sort of the pinnacle of Marillion tearjerkers, really.
Mm.
So I hope they don't deliberately try to... Yeah. I mean, I'm sure
I'm going to change it.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to change it from my
hope... You want to start them to write a song that makes you fart?
No.
Imagine you could write, that's the brown note, isn't it? I want Rothers to learn the brown note so that he plays a note so low.
That's so disgusting.
All the people listening to it fart. We're back. We're that podcast, remember?
Roger. We need an extra cleaning team in the Royal Albert Hall.
An hour before you fart.
No, please.
Or just fart, f.a.r.t.
No.
The brown cover.
I really hope they don't do that.
Okay, enough brown note speak. I think that's, you know, it's all well and good coming back and being what people expect, but there's also a little too much of what they expect so far. So, Sanya.
Well, we've cut it all out, so it's fine.
Yeah, yes, we have cut it out. There was another 10 minutes worth of fart and poo talk. Sanya, what would you like from the new Marillion album?
Yes, I would like... I'm changing my mind and I'm going to delete wanting a song that makes me cry. And I would just say I'd love one or two songs that move my emotions in some way. So it doesn't have to be... There's no pressure to make a sad song.
As opposed to your bells.
Paul,
sorry,
you literally,
if you're gonna say that, what am I meant to say in response?
Oh, that's lovely. Me too.
I can't help it. It's a sickness.
You literally just had a go at me.
Okay, you were taking it. You won't have heard it, listener, but Sanya did take it way too far, and I said I think that's too much.
I did a bit.
You would start. I'm not going to say what you said.
What, sugar-free sweets?
No. It's what you start... Where you were going after that.
I'm baffled.
I'm not going to say it because...
Okay.
I cut it...
Then you're going to cut it all out again.
So I'm not saying it again because I don't want this episode to be riddled with holes that I've had to patch together like a Mike Hunter epic. We love Mike Hunter. We love his epics. What was I saying? Yes, I'm tempted to sort of say what I wouldn't want from the next Marillion album, but what they did with An Hour Before It's Dark on paper was exactly what I didn't want from a Marillion album. And
people
they
don't
surprised
know...
the hell out of me. And it is, it's in my top five Marillion albums now, still.
Yeah, I think people can't be trusted with knowing what they want. I feel that the band are going to get the best album with if they're true to themselves. So whatever they feel moved to make is going to be the best album, whether on paper we think it's what we want or not. So maybe a whole album of songs that don't move you emotionally.
I
don't know. I mean, who am I to say?
Marillion's skill is in writing emotional songs.
It is.
I feel. Emotive. Whether they're ballads or epics or whatever. Yes, by the way, Happy Easter. If you're listening to this at Easter, Happy Easter.
Why are you saying it like that?
Well, because I meant to start the whole episode talking about the song Easter and its inspirations. And we just, unfortunately, what happened is we had a whole load of toilet talk instead.
That's been cut out.
Which most of it's been cut out. I've left the good stuff in. I've left the good bits in. So I was going to talk about, you know, the original inspiration for the song, which was the poem Easter 1916. Do you know who wrote that?
No.
W.B. Yeats.
Oh, right.
Do you know why he was called that? because he used to lose his temper and go, yeet! Flip over tables, yeet!
What's the WB for then?
Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers yeets.
Warner Brothers yeets. William Butler.
Oh.
No, the song was about the 1916 Easter Uprising, which was the first armed conflict in the whole Irish revolutionary period.
Oh.
I can't say it without wanting to go yeet. He didn't condone the violence, but, you know, in a similar sort of way that the song Easter was a song for peace, a song for hope, that people would put their differences aside. Because what happened after the uprising was the ringleaders were executed by the British.
Around 1916?
I'll give you a clue. Again, the poem's called Easter 1916. See if you can work it out. lost 16 minutes past 7 at night. they were executed, and the British obviously hoped that that would discourage further. But what it did was it sort of galvanised. And the Irish Republican movement was sort of born, really, in that moment.
Anyway,
I don't want to get into the politics of that, although we did watch something about it recently, didn't we, weirdly?
I know.
But there's only one line that he takes direct inspiration from in the song Easter from the poem. There's a section that goes, "Too long a sacrifice can make a stone of the heart." You know that bit in Easter? You don't, do you?
I don't remember it, but...
make a stone of your heart.
Too long a sacrifice can make a stone of your heart.
Or the heart.
Of the heart. Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, that was what I wanted to say at the beginning, just because we're putting this out at Easter. So, back to Marillion's new album and the writing... and Pete's absence.
Mm-hmm.
Pete, of course, couldn't do Cruise to the Edge.
Oh, that's right. They got someone else to...
What's his name, Sanya?
I can't remember, but he's the one that wore the mankini in the video.
He was, by looking at the photos, he was giving out inflatable dolls of himself in the mankini.
Brilliant.
He's very proud of that mankini. He's got, if you go on his Instagram, there's pictures of him just wandering around in it.
What, just around the streets? Or just around his house?
I don't know. It looked like what I saw was in some sort of arena or stadium.
They always look like they'd be really uncomfortable, though.
Yeah. And smelly.
Well, hopefully not.
Hopefully not. yes, Nick Beggs.
That's it.
I mean, it's such a weird... coming together, because Beggs was huge in the 80s. You know, he was sort of an icon because he had that mad hair. You remember I showed you a video of their big hit, Too Shy Shy? Which you hate. You told me to turn it off. you did say that, though, didn't you? You did say, "I can't stand this. This is annoying me." You made me turn it off.
Okay, I'm not the biggest fan of the song.
Yeah. Yeah,
but that's not a reflection of him or the rest of their music.
But his hair was like an octopus, wasn't it?
An octopus.
Well, it was sort of very bulbous and puffy on top. And then,
I need to see a photo. I can't remember this. This was a few weeks ago.
Abacus hair.
Abacus. Okay,
but like
wait.
Tentacles.
Pause. I need to see a photo because...
Oh, no, don't make me pause. You look him up.
I can't...
Look up Nick Beggs 80s. Anyway, he has become, after being in a sort of new wave synth pop band in the 80s, he's somehow inexplicably ended up as sort of the go-to prog bassist of the current era. He's in about five different bands. I'll send his family.
I think
photo.
You mean jellyfish rather than octopus.
I know what I mean.
Okay, that is way too many tentacles if it's an octopus. That's got jellyfish energy.
Okay.
Oh, you agree?
No,
nice.
I just can't bother to argue.
Oh.
Just said, okay, we beg to differ.
Okay.
That my analogy was absolutely fine and didn't need correcting, but, you know, is what it is. Yeah, he's become this sort of go-to prog bassist. He's in, like, about five different prog bands.
Kind of like Pete.
Yeah, I suppose.
Maybe
yeah,
it's a bassist thing.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Plus, as well, he's also in, you know, the Beg Sisters, his daughter's group as well. But because he's a brilliant bassist, I would have loved to have seen that show or shows. I think they played two on the ship.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they played Quartz as well, which would have been a thing to sort of see because, yeah, obviously that's a bit of a...
They played Quartz. I think they did play no Quartz. Way.
Yeah, let me look it up. I mean,
that's the song to choose if you really want him to have his moment in the spotlight and to shine.
Yeah. I mean, he looked great as well in his kilt, which he wore on stage. Yeah, he did do Quartz. So Invisible Man, Sugar Mice, Reprogram the Gene, Beautiful Quartz, Easter, Cry of the Night Ago, Man of a Thousand Faces, Afraid of Sunlight and Care.
Oh, wow. That's a proper gig.
Proper gig.
Oh, I didn't know they did full ones on the cruise.
Yeah.
Wow.
No point
God, you really get your money's worth then.
You do. And then I think they were sort of impromptu things sometimes as well that happen on deck. I don't know if Meridian did any this time. But yeah, would have been... I mean, imagine having to learn that as well, you know, because I doubt he's...
That's a lot he had to learn.
Directly a Meridian fan, I wouldn't have thought. I mean, I know he's friends with the band, but...
Well, you don't know that. That's a big assumption to make.
Yeah, but there's liking them and then there's...
Knowing
the songs intimately.
Knowing how to play all the songs.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's... He has like a musical ear that he can just listen to it and know how to play it.
I suspect he's got two.
Oh.
Marillion adjacent news.
Mm.
Breen Sands, where they held the first Marillion weekend, has been in the news of late.
Oh, why?
Not for the best of reasons. It shut down not so long ago to house workers from a... the first new nuclear power plant in Britain for 30 years, Hinkley Point C.
Wow, wait, where is this set in Britain?
Breen Sands was it in Somerset? I can't remember now. I mean, it's famously, you know, they only held one Meridian weekend there for good reason. In fact,
I think it must be Somerset because didn't we go down there for a holiday years ago?
No, you're thinking of Minehead. We didn't.
Oh, yes. I'm thinking of Minehead.
Don't matter. You've made me look it up now. I'm looking it up. It's down that way, Somerset way, by the Mendip Hills. The YouTuber that we watched, Walk With Me Tim, when I was looking up Breen Sands earlier, obviously I didn't look up exactly where it was. He did a video there with the title Britain's Worst Reviewed Holiday Park.
Was that the one that we watched a while ago?
I don't think
he
so.
He went with his
another,
wife.
It was another. No, it was another one.
Oh dear.
In fact, it's TripAdvisor. It's got an overall 2 out of 5 on TripAdvisor.
Yikes!
It was, as anyone who was there will tell you, it was like a prison.
So it hasn't improved then. It was just as bad back then.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, a lot of the people in the nearby area are complaining about the nuclear power plant workers being there because their business has suffered because nuclear power plant workers don't go and hang out in arcades and things.
So the locals would prefer it to be a tourist
place. Yeah, families again.
Place,
I think it's reopening, funny enough, this weekend as we record this for families. Which is why it was in the news. But hey, look, check out some of these reviews on TripAdvisor. 1 out of 5 by Beck Roberts. Blah, blah, blah. We first entered our room to find an old sock in the microwave.
You couldn't make this up.
On top of that, we had a double bed and a bunk bed. The double bed was stained and the bunk bed wasn't built properly and it ended up collapsing on me, which ended up causing me injuries.
And she gave it 1 out of 5. Yeah. It sounds like a 0. It's probably, you can't give zeros. Yeah.
Here's another 1 out of 5 from Denise Coburn. That was the worst holiday I've ever been on. I took my 3-year-old daughter and family to Pontins for a few nights in a fun getaway. But it resulted in... she's not reread this back. But in result of me trying to be nice, a nice and caring mother, it turned into a total disaster. We were there around 2 days prior before the nightmare. My daughter woke up with lice and an ear infection.
Oh my goodness.
We thought she would be fine, but the next morning she had a sickness bug and tonsillitis. It's disgusting. The staff are rude. The food tastes raw. The room management is absolutely diabolical. Never take your children here.
It's like having a holiday in hell.
Here's another one. That is literally the most disgusting place I've ever been. I pray that you did not stay in that place because that place is covered in black mound. I think he means mold. And life-threatening fungus. Another one said that there was vomit all in the toilets. But here's my favourite one, which gave it...
You are not selling this place
this
to
is,
me.
This is my favourite. This is genuine. This is a review on TripAdvisor, 1 out of 5. My name is Ben Turd. That's how he starts his review. I'm not joking. Go look it up. Look up the one-star reviews for Pontins Princess. My name is Ben Turd, and I am absolutely disgusted with this place. Accommodation absolutely filthy and vile. Staff should be put down. To top it all off, my goldfish, Margaret, Marillion Link, died in the swimming pool due to too much chlorine. Never coming back. And my name is Ben Turd. That's how we ended it.
That one sounds a little bit fake.
His name's Ben Turd.
So it must be real.
Yeah.
So have they done it up before reopening it, or are they just reopening it and kind of like with minor alterations?
I don't know, but it was also in the news earlier this month, because back in 2019, in the main entertainment venue where I believe Marillion played, I mean, I was there, I'm assuming it's the same one, 19 people were injured and one woman was killed after an air vent fell on them.
You're joking. It feels a bit cruel to send nuclear power plant workers to live there. It's like their job's already dangerous enough. They're putting their life and their health at risk.
Wait a minute. They don't start with the radiation and build the nuclear power plant around it. That's not how a nuclear power plant works.
I know, but you never know.
They don't
leak.
To live it, they just have like wasteland. They drop a load of uranium on it and they say, quick, we better build a building around this, some sort of reactor.
But you never know. You never know. There might be a leak or a meltdown or something. They're putting their lives at risk. So the least they could have as a reward for their effort and their labour is a lovely place to stay and beautiful, comfortable accommodation.
There's a beach. 900 of them staying there. It's a big old... I don't know what the capacity of the first Marillion weekend was. I seem to remember it was about 1,000. I mean, I did get diarrhea while I was there. Sorry to bring it up again. But again, that was down to me eating too many sugar-free sweets.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
What was your experience of the place? What do you remember?
I mean, to be
honest,
I was too drunk most of the time to care. I mean, I was there with my mate, Seb, and we... it was rough. But, you know, I was younger than I am now, so I wasn't there with my kids, so it wasn't an issue, you know. Mm. It was, a step up from sleeping rough.
just one step up.
But, yeah, it was a rotten place. It was weird. I mean, Butlins was better, but not much.
Right.
I mean, the things I remember is, because it was Grand National weekend, which those of you who aren't in the UK, the Grand National's a big horse race. And
that is
like
a really random
thing
to
remember.
Well,
I went and put a bet on.
Oh, I see.
I think I may have won like 20 quid as well. There was a bookies over the road. I can remember us walking to the beach across the road. We just hung out in the bar or pub.
So you didn't spend much time in your room?
Not really. Just somewhere to go back and sleep. It was rough. It didn't have a lot of character. It was very, very basic. And, you know, thank God they found Paul Zealand.
Yeah, and they never went back there anyway. Yeah, so that says a lot.
Yeah, which says it all. But
Paul Zealand's lovely.
Yes.
Paul Zealand's really nice.
But get this, going back to the people person that was killed and the injured. The reason this big air duct collapsed, apparently, because it was overloaded in places, partly due to soundproofing that they'd added to it due to complaints about concerts.
Oh, you're joking.
I mean, I'm not blaming Marillion for what happened. I'm just saying. I'm just, you know,
wait, hang
people
on. I thought this accident...
I'm not saying it was Marillion's fault, but I'm just putting it out there.
That's a stretch. I thought this accident happened recently.
Yeah, 2019.
Okay, well,
after Marillion played there. Yeah.
Okay.
After
probably
Marillion played
when Marillion played there in what year? 2000 early.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have had soundproofing up yet.
People complained. They didn't have soundproofing up. People complained. They put the soundproofing in.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I'm just saying people can draw their own conclusions as to what happened and whose fault it was. Playing that brown note, I'm telling you. Shouldn't be laughing, really. Someone died, Sanya. It's not funny.
It's not funny at all.
So the other news, which I only want to touch upon, since we were last in your ear holes, Phish announced his final tour.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. What was...
big old tour.
Yeah, about 50-odd dates.
I mean, that is insanely ambitious.
Yes. I think it is, given that he has had a knee replacement recently, lost two front teeth, has back problems, and is suffering from Viking disease.
What's that? Oh, is that something that you don't want to say?
No, it's where he kind of wakes up. He's got like a big helmet on with horns and...
likes to like sail around in a ship.
It's another word for something called I can't pronounce this. How can I pronounce this?
I've never heard of it.
Depuis contracture.
All the French people are vomiting.
I'm not doing it in that's not a French accent. That's me trying to say it in an English accent.
Oh, right.
It's a weird word.
I need to look this
up. DUPUYTRENS contracture, which causes a thickening of tissue in the palm of his hand.
Oh.
So,
that is really random.
Yeah. It makes it, you can't straighten some of your fingers, apparently. That sort of thing.
Oh, my God. He's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's, I don't know. A bit, okay. I mean, I guess he knows his limits.
I mean, I'll be honest. I did sort of see the tour schedule and kind of go, that is ambitious. And that is, you know, because there are in places, you know, back-to-back shows and...
we'll just leave it to the experts, Paul. It's not for us to say whether doable
Phish,
or not.
Phish has never, ever had any problems with touring in the past and, you know, never had to cancel shows or anything like that. So I'm sure he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Which, of course, there was a little bit of controversy as well, which blew up over the final show, which sold out almost immediately.
Because it was the final show.
It being the final show of the tour in Glasgow. So Phish then announced another final show for the following day, which a few people were miffed about. To which Phish explained, no, they're all final shows. Trying not to say anything more.
Wise.
I did in the car, though, that day, didn't I? When we were driving home from our daughters and I'd read about it, I had a few things to say in the car.
You did, and we said to ourselves, thank goodness that Bianpod is on hiatus at the moment.
Hmm. I mean, I could just read out what he said.
If you feel moved to and you feel that's a sensible decision.
On Friday, I should have been on a high after sending out a Glasgow show. And I mean, it's, you know, it's a novel he's written. So I'll have to just chop bits out. On Friday, I should have been on a high after selling out a Glasgow show in less than 36 hours. We decided to add another show 24 hours later and all hell breaks loose amongst a vocal minority in the fan base. If I wanted reminding of why I'm retiring and getting out of the music business, then what I have read here on the group pages and on my timeline certainly does that and more. Only recently, I was decried on public forums for cancelling a couple of Fish on Friday shows by a few individuals. These shows are given freely, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, is this where it's at now? We are now fair game to any fuckwit with an opinion. Are we supposed to just sit back and accept it? It's only a minority, but as with this Glasgow show, they are loud and they are noticeable, but they are not representative of all the 2,500 people who did buy tickets for a Fish gig in Glasgow. I am 66 years old in April, having spent over 40 years in the entertainment industry and undergone more downs than ups, but still held my head high, survived and created a lot against quite a few odds, and I like to think I brought some joy into people's lives and maybe helped some others out a bit in all those years. Blah, blah, blah. There's been a few mistakes and I'm the first to admit them. What I've been on the receiving end of in the last couple of days, I will not stay silent on, as it's not in the spirit of what I'm trying to achieve or what I believe is the fundamental essence of this farewell tour. This is my farewell tour and I can choose where and how I do it. I will pick the set list and decide what it is and what is not being played on what night. It's my gig. Remember, he's not doing it for the audience. If I did what everyone wanted me to do, then I wouldn't be who I am. I wouldn't be here now and you wouldn't be following my career. I am not the monkey on the organ grinning and accepting pennies to dance. Quite a lot of pennies, 2 sold out nights at Glasgow and a 50 date tour. But, you know, good for him. I completely understand that some of you are upset that you bought tickets for the final show and now it's the penultimate show. I added another show. Forgive me. Quite a few people who wanted to see a Glasgow show. I mean, it just goes on and on. Blah, blah, blah. Just don't bitch and moan because I played Incubus or Plague or Shadow Play or whatever night you weren't there. Or you can come to both as long as you feel, don't feel financially exploited and taken a loan off by a big, nasty, professional 66-year-old artist. I'm sure there'll be some smart-ass retorts, well-crafted arguments and intelligent reasonings as to why I am a dick, capital D, his choice, but in all honesty I don't give a damn because it's a few people trying to steal centre stage, and if you don't know already, I still own this particular stage for now, and yes, I am raging. And then there was a story about it in Prog magazine which referred to the disgruntled fans as trolls, which I thought was a bit unfair.
Why do you feel it was unfair, Paul?
Don't get me started.
It's so hard not to.
I know, there's so much I could say, but you know, we had our run-in last year with him. What I will say, choosing my words extremely carefully, I will say I totally understand the people who bought the tickets to the final show because they wanted to be there to celebrate that moment with one of their favourite singer. And only to find out that it wouldn't be the final show, even though he did say that all the shows are final shows. I understand why they might have been disappointed.
I mean, I'll just say with a tour that's like 50 dates long, not wrong, 50 dates long and lots of back-to-back gigs, it is very possible that any one of the shows will be the final show. He's not wrong.
Okay, yes, fair point. And I think they had every right to kind of say, hang on a minute, I bought those tickets, booked accommodation and travel on the basis that that was going to be the final show. I understand where people were coming from. And I don't think the response they got from the artist, backed up by the usual legion of fans who feel he can do no wrong, I don't think it was fair. You know, it felt like ganging up yet again. But anyway, that's that. I don't really want to talk about it. I mean, Fish has been doing a lot of interviews to sort of promote the tour,
which has sold well by all accounts. I mean, you know, it sold really well. He's talked quite a bit. I mean, as we know, he's retiring to become a shepherd on the island of Bernarea in the Hebrides, which I've been to, and it's very lovely.
Nice.
Absolutely beautiful part of the world, and I do wish him all the best. But he is also, which I find fascinating, is him talking about how... I'll just read this. This is from an interview he did with My Global Mind, where he said, "I actually realised fairly recently that I'm on the autistic spectrum. I write because I find it difficult to express myself in conversation. If I get in an argument with somebody, I get very frustrated and I can become overwhelmed by things that are coming at me and I retreat. I'm renowned for writing letters to people." I mean, we've been on the receiving end of one. "I will sit and put everything in words, and that's where I retreat, where I make sense of my world. My whole career is basically taking my spectral energies and throwing them into albums. That's where it is. I didn't know it for what it was, but I saw a refuge in words years ago, and that's where I went to handle my problems. A relationship breaks up, I solve it and put it in a box, but I never realised how deep it went. I have to meticulously write down all my words, all my feelings, and sculpt all those feelings and angles and things down into words. That's what helps me deal with things in the main. That in itself tells you that I'm never going to stop writing." Which, if he is on the spectrum as he believes, which I think it's okay to talk about this now, and... I'm happy to talk about it because he is. And also, you know, I'm the father of someone with autism. I think it would perhaps explain a lot.
Yeah.
I think it would explain a lot.
Yeah, so, I think so.
Yeah. So, you know, I remain a Fish fan. I remain a fan of Marillion era Fish. Less of a fan of his solo stuff, but... that's just personal taste. And we'll continue to cover him on here. But I think that self-diagnosis, I think it may be worth looking back over some stuff at some point with that in mind. Mm. When we get to it. I mean, we haven't bought tickets to the tour. You were adamant you didn't want to go. And I was like, I did ham and ah, and then I thought, oh, I'll probably get beaten up if I go. Fish fans are aggressive and loyal. I just thought I'd dare. Now our face has been on Marillion Monthly. They all know what we look like. Not worth it, is it? So, yeah.
It's up to you. It's a free country.
I'm not. I've said. Also, I don't want to risk having to listen to... what is that one? The one about World War One.
Oh, the Force song.
That one. That massive song. The Highwood Suite. I don't want to... I really can't. That's what stopped
him.
Well,
he might not play that.
He might not, but he might. He loves it. I can't. I cannot go and listen to that live again. I just can't. I'd rather, I don't know, stick razor blades in my eyes.
Okay, ears. all the bridge building you've done in the
previous
2 minutes.
It's one song.
You're burning it down.
It's
now.
One song that I don't like. It's one song, but it's a long song, but I don't
like
it.
Well, then that's no reason to not go.
It is, because that's the after set gone. After set gone on something I find intolerable.
Oh, man.
Plus, that coupled with the risk of actual bodily harm towards myself.
Wear a disguise. Yeah. Just have, like, you know those disguises with the fake glasses, with the fake nose and the moustache that they used to sell in the 80s?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like I can blend in. I've got hair. I can't blend into the crowd.
Wear a hat. Wear a hat.
Bald cap. And that fake nose and glasses. No one will know. Now look. Now look what you've done. Oh, man. I've enjoyed this.
Oh, dear.
I had flu recently, by the way. So did Sanya. Who had it
worse?
Mine
wasn't that bad.
You sound disappointed.
No, because I don't think... I wouldn't class what I had as the flu. What you had was the flu, because you had 7 days of high temperature.
Yeah.
I didn't even have 1 day of high temperature.
But what I had was way worse than the COVID I had last year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anyway. So, where have we been?
Where have we been? Sitting on our laptops editing.
Yeah. We've been putting out a lot of content since you last.
Well, no, most of it isn't out. No, not. Yeah, most of it isn't out yet.
Downplay what I've done. Downplay the enormous.
No, we've been working on it, but a lot of it hasn't been put out yet.
Our YouTube channel, as I think I said to those of you who follow us on Facebook, we were committed to doing this YouTube show.
Yes.
But because of reasons such as my dad, my job, it got delayed. And yeah. It got to January and it was like, we have to do this.
Yeah, which so, we did actually even create a new YouTube channel for this.
Yes, we did. If you want to go to Digitizer Level 2.
If you're into retro games.
Yeah, I mean, Sanya pops up in it. We have done some podcast-style things where we play some weird old games, which is just the two of us chatting. In one of them, Fish crops up as a character. That's even a joke.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Although, isn't he... What's
Rockstar
he called?
Ate my hamster.
Rockstar ate my hamster. What's he called in it? Cod.
Cod.
Yeah. This is not being facetious.
That's his name in the game.
That's his name in the game. So it's just been all consuming and we're not completely done yet. So I can't guarantee this is us back kind of on a weekly schedule.
No, because we've still got a long way to go with this project.
I doubt there'll be an episode of Beyond Pod next week, but there might be the week after. But we're going to try. So that has been the big practical reason why we haven't put a Beyond Pod out. Then on top of that, I mean, it's not just doing that. It's like we're looking after my mum. Now she's in hospital at the moment. Then obviously I got ill for 2 weeks.
Then I got ill.
Then you got ill. And there's just been sort of a bit of one thing after another this year. But it's just busy stuff. But also, towards the end of last year, I had a few things that sort of shook my faith in the... Not in the podcast. Well, yes, in the podcast, if I'm honest. I mean, the first of them was we obviously had our run of episodes where we tried to talk about fish. And I got sort of very emotionally affected by it. I mean, if you listen to those episodes, you know, it is, you know, that's me talking about my childhood hero, but sort of seeing him in a different light and seeing those songs that I grew up loving in a different light. And then, of course, because of his loyal fan base, he was pointed in the direction of our podcast. And then we got a letter from him that, you know, an email from him because he was pissed off with what Art said. So that was the first sort of slight cloud over all things Meridian for me. Then we had a terrible gig experience, not because of the band or anything, because of the venue certainly was part of it, and certainly because of some of the people we encountered at that gig, which we've recounted, I think, on this podcast. So that was the sort of second strike against my enthusiasm, I suppose. And then I've got to be really careful how I talk about this because I don't... I want to own this. I want to kind of go, this is about me, not about anything else or anyone else. But as some of you are probably aware, Stanya and I have discussed, should we talk about this? Should we bring this up on the podcast? Should we, I don't know, is this going to cause more trouble than it solves? But the fact of the matter is my enthusiasm for doing Beyond Pod got absolutely blown out of the water because we're no longer the only Meridian podcast out there.
Barring Corona Diaries.
Meridian Fan Podcast, yeah. Sorry. And I suppose we've always tried to be sort of very authentic in ourselves on here. And, you know, some of you have been listening to us for 3 years. Probably more so than Sanya, haven't cared about just sharing stuff because I'm at an age where I kind of go, well, I don't know. If you don't like me, you don't like me. I can't, or rather, that's not true, you know, actually saying that, because I do care if people like me, you know, I'm human, but I think it's more a case of you're sitting at home listening to this going, what is he talking about? I'll get to it. But I think I'm at an age where I don't feel I need to hide
sorry,
who I am or what I'm feeling, I guess. But Planet Marzipan, Craig and John, fine fellas, a fine podcast. When we started Beyondpod, though, we'd been fishing for a reason to do a podcast, a theme to do a podcast. And one of the things that we wanted was to do something that nobody else was doing. And we, Sanya and I, we batted around ideas. And we tried to come up with all sorts of things. And then it just hit me. Wow, there isn't a Marillion podcast from the point of view of the fans. Corona Diaries existed. You know, I guess you could say Fish on Friday existed as well. It's a kind of podcast. But they were from within. You know, there had never been a Marillion podcast apart from a very short-lived one called This Strange Podcast, which I think lasted about 3-4 episodes, and was very different to what a lot of music podcasts do, where you go through the albums, you go through the songs, you talk about the history, all that sort of thing. And it just hit me like a butt out of the blue. Oh my God, how has there not been? Why isn't there one? And so it was a no-brainer. And then we hit upon the notion of, well, Sanya's didn't grow up with them, has none of the baggage until she met me and never heard of them. You know, you grew up in a different country. And it was like this perfect sort of format. And for sort of 2.5-3 years, Beyondpod has been so precious to me. And it's felt special because we were the Marillion podcast. You know, all right, there was H, you know, and I really hope that us coming along, I mean, it probably did to a degree, I really hope it didn't upset Ann, Shaw and H, you know, because I always saw us as something completely different to what they were doing. But Planet Marzipan came along, and my initial reaction was a whole maelstrom of emotions that I immediately pushed down, not least because I know John. You know, John's was one of our patrons. And I pushed all those feelings down and suppressed them. And instead kind of went, "Way, this is great. It's another Marillion podcast," and slapped a smile on my face and kind of went, "Yeah, we should do a collab," and all these other things. But in actual fact, what I was feeling was a whole lot of other stuff that it really took my enthusiasm for doing this away. And I want to be open and honest with you about where we've been. And that's the truth. Suddenly doing Beyondpod didn't feel special. But I'm not blaming anyone else for this because, you know, I'm not gatekeeping the Marillion podcast sphere. I don't want to say no one can start up a Marillion podcast because we got here first. It's not about that. But it nevertheless affected me. It nevertheless made me feel I'd lost something special that really meant something to me, because I've always felt, and this is what it came down, I've spent months trying to work out what I feel about this, the fact that we're no longer the only Marillion fan podcast, and I'm still not fully at the bottom of it. It's really complex, and it's about me, and stuff to do with me that's really deep-seated. I know some of it is about feeling on the outside, you know, and I think when we started and, you know, gradually we kind of got to know Lucy a bit, and it was like I suddenly felt closer to the band that I grew up loving. And I felt, I'll admit it, I felt sort of important, I guess, that I was contributing something to the Marillion story overall. But
at the same time, you know, I've always felt like an outsider in my life. You know, I know I'm not alone in feeling like that. Sanya's not gone away, by the way. She is just
listening.
Nodding.
I'm nodding
quietly.
But...
she walked out 10 minutes ago. This is self-indulgent.
Stormed out.
Stuff. She went off and subscribed to Planet Marzipan. I've always felt on the outside. And I think I know I'm my own worst enemy in some respects. It's like we started this podcast and we're weird. I'm weird. I've got a weird sense of humour. You know, we shout, we bicker, we go off on weird tangents, but, you know, and the like. And I've always done that in all the work I've ever done. And it's cost me as much as it's given me, that weird sense of humour, but that's who I am. You know, that aspect, you know, it's not the entirety of my being, but that's who I am. I can't help it. You know, that's just what I do. But I also know that that can be off-putting and be a barrier between sort of a kind of mass acceptance. So, you know, and on top of that, because of, you know, what I was just saying is I don't feel I should self-censor what I'm feeling about anything. So we're very blunt about what we feel about Marillion and associated bands and, you know, what we like and what we don't like. Part of that was by design because we wanted to, you know, we bring our own audience to be Ampod. So we wanted to not just be sycophantic. But consequently, when you are saying you don't like something, that can put noses out of joint. And we have, you know, not least with the whole fish thing. But certainly when we've kind of been very open about such as, for example, Transatlantic, people don't like their favorite thing being poo-pooed. So I just got the sense, because of the timing, I may be wrong, the timing of Planet Marzipan starting up felt like a reaction to what happened with us with Fish. I agree, we went too far with it, too many episodes. It was too sort of meta in that we started talking about, you know, could Fish sue us for, you know, quoting in that sort of thing. It was, I'm not going to say self-indulgent because I thought it was interesting. But the timing of it felt like the guys wanted to offer an alternative and an alternative to what we were doing. And so consequently, my feeling like an outsider, and because John and Craig are sort of got a foot in the Marillion camp, you know, they do the Marillion quiz at the Marillion weekends, and it felt like suddenly I've been elbowed aside. We'd been elbowed aside to kind of like, nope, we're going to show you how to do it. This is what people actually want. And all right, this may not be true, but that's what it felt like. That's how I felt. I felt like I was being told what you've been doing is the wrong way to do a Marillion podcast.
And what feeds into all of this is your history, your childhood,
exactly.
Teenage
well,
years,
yeah, it's like with anything. You know, as I say, I'm owning this. You know, I'm not saying, I'm not blaming
this is
anyone
how,
else.
This is how you processed that happening, how your brain, your mind interpreted the events.
Yes, that's the important thing to say.
This is not you saying that objectively.
This is me being completely subjective about what I felt.
Yeah, is how you were processing the events and the meaning that your mind gave to the events.
And I guess then what happened was I just kept telling myself, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. You know, we're all friends here. You know, and as I say, again, they're lovely guys. They're really lovely guys. And I don't believe there was any malice intended at all. This is about me. But I pushed it all aside instead of kind of going, what are you feeling at the time? And asking myself and interrogating what I was feeling and letting myself feel it. So consequently, it rumbled on them for months until I got to a point where I kind of, we stopped for Christmas and I didn't want to come back. I just didn't. I just thought, what's the point? They've all got another Marillion podcast now. You know, it was that like sort of little petulant child voice in me who kind of went, well, you want them, don't you? You don't want us. You don't want us with our weird characters and weird humour and bickering and our honest opinions. You know, you can't possibly want that because no one's ever wanted that. Yeah, that was the sort of stuff I had kind of going on. You know, you don't want a podcast where the host spends 15 minutes talking about why he's had an emotional meltdown about a rival podcast. You don't want that. You want one where the hosts don't do that. You want one where they just talk about charting the single for 10 minutes. or interview Stephanie from the web or whatever. You know, or from Racket. That's what you want. That's what my brain was telling me. You don't want what I am doing right now. So I'm doing it. I'm doubling down. I'm quadrupling down on the stuff that I think no one wants. But I just want to be honest with people. I got really upset about it. Really down about it. And I'm still a bit upset and down about it. I can't pretend I'm not. Yeah, and that's not, I don't want them to go away. They've got every right to do their podcast. I mean, objectively, I do kind of go, can Marillion as a band and a fan base support three podcasts about it? I do objectively, you know, I did look up and there's like kind of one Pink Floyd podcast. There's like two Genesis ones. There's like three Queen ones. They're much bigger acts than Marillion. So I do go, can the fan, but at the same time I kind of go, well, we're hamstrung because I've always been on the outside, whereas John and Craig have been that much closer to the centre of Marillion fandom, so they've got their friends, they've got that sort of inner circle of fans who will support them, and I just kind of think, who have we got? We've got Mark Anthony Shogson. Who wants them as fans?
Regis.
Oh, and Regis. And who wants those twats?
Shout out to Regis.
You know, they're not. Yeah, you know, we want the quality. We want the inner circle listed to us. I don't know. I feel good to have said it all. And that's partly why we set up to record today, because I went on Facebook this morning and I saw that Tim Sidwell was on Planet Marzipan. And it was like, I was going to interview him and now I don't feel there's any point. And it got me down. And I said to you, and you said to me, what do you need? And I said, I think I need to record a podcast. So John and Craig, I hope you don't see any of this as an attack on you. It's not meant as that. It is purely, you know, and likewise, anyone that listens to Planet Marzipan, please listen to Planet Marzipan. You know, those guys are passionate and love the band. And of course, there's room for two fan podcasts. This is me being me. And me because I am who I am. And I wouldn't change it for the world. I love this part of me. I love this aspect of me that I do dig deep and kind of go, what's this thing that I'm feeling, rather than push it away and just numb it with drugs or whatever. I don't do that. I examine it and I love it about me. It probably makes me insufferable, but it is what it is, you know. So, John, Craig, this is not by any means something I want to turn into an us versus them. There is, you know, I said it's a rival podcast. It's not really. You're just another podcast. And I don't want anyone else turning this into an us v them thing. And, you know, and I don't want it to become ugly just because I've had an emotional reaction to something. You know, this isn't us sort of activating the hordes or anything like that. This is just that I've got to work through because it's such a big emotional reaction because of how much I love Bian. I'm getting choked up. How much I have loved Bianpod and how much this has meant to me. Doing this with Sanya for the last 3 years, it has meant the world to me, and the friends that we've made through it. Those of you who've written in, which you can write in, and we'll maybe do a letters episode soon, bianpod@gmail.com. The community around this
has meant so much to me. Meeting people at gigs who listen to us. It's been so special. And so I guess when something I perceived as a threat to that came along, it was really upsetting. Which is stupid. You all listen to this, some of you, I know, just going, what a fucking arsehole. What an over-the-top reaction. Oh, well. So I am. All right, on that note, anything you want to add?
Oh, my God. How can I add anything to that?
I feel a bit foolish now.
Why?
I take it all back. I'm fine. It's all fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Yeah. All right. Having now done this and got all that baggage off my chest, again, John and Craig, sorry. I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. It's not about you. It's about me. But having done all that, I kind of want to do another ep soon.
Oh.
I think we need to do the rest of Sounds That Can't Be Made.
Wow. So you just needed to move the energy.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes that's all it takes. It's like, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are scared of their emotions because they seem so wild and out of control. And it's like, if I let them out, if I feel them, they're going to just take over and run away with me. And the irony is like the longer that you try and push them down and keep a lid on it, the wilder and more out of control they're going
to
get.
I was telling myself, you've got to be gentlemanly about this, chivalrous, you know, the Queensbury rules and all that. I don't know what that means, but you know, yeah, that's what I was telling myself.
Yeah.
But I was fighting a losing battle.
Yeah. Well, sometimes all it takes is just, you know, a bit of time to really look at what you're feeling, feel it, express it, and move forward. And that's all you need, is just to let that energy flow instead of creating a dam of energy within you. Open the dam in a safe place, a safe environment with a safe person. Let that flow. And that...
It's all gone very woo-woo.
Allows... Yeah, okay, I'll stop then.
No, no.
Well, that allows the actual flow
of emotions
to continue.
Yeah, I agree.
And
I
to
agree.
Flow freely.
Which
and...
is what the purpose of that exercise was.
Yeah.
Yeah, we ain't going to change. If we stick around, and I hope we do, because of how much this is meant to be, you're just going to get more of that shit. So, you know, if that's not what you want, you know what you can listen to. Don't roll your eyes at me.
I didn't roll my eyes. It was more of a pull, not helpful.
What? They've got John and Craig. I aren't that kind of podcast. They're funny and they're sweet men, but they're not kind of a couple of woo-woo, touchy-feely,
self-indulgent idiots. Is not exactly a magnet to people, is it?
Oh, by the way, I should just wait. I need to do this. Sorry, this is really important before I forget. I need to apologise to the guy on Facebook who posted speculating that the reason we hadn't come back was because of Planet Marzipan, and I kind of went, no, not at all. Nah, it was. Kind of was, because I was having an emotional crisis about it. So, yes, you were right, and I'm sorry that I lied. I was lying to myself. Anyway, look, right, okay, Phil, I've cleared all that out. We can crack on. Probably won't be here next week, because I think we're off.
I mean, we genuinely do still have a lot of editing to
do. Yeah, oh yeah, no, that is.
You know, it would be a lie to say I wasn't relieved that we didn't do Bianpod in January, because I was just, it was intense.
It was really intense.
I don't think I would have had time to research anything. Yeah.
But if you want to see us messing about and talking about old games and stuff, Digitizer Level 2 on YouTube. I think it's great. It's very nerdy. Bit too nerdy for my tastes, but there's lots of other stuff as well. What can I say?
Yeah, we haven't even been doing our travel videos.
No, we'll go back to doing them. Yeah,
we've
there's loads of us on YouTube.
Of stuff.
There's loads of us. Go find us, Digitizer. Just search for Digitizer or Digitizer Level 2. Two different channels. Do you know what? I'll link to them in the show notes. show notes. Right. Okay. Listen, lovely people. Thanks for indulging me. And we will be back soon, I hope. Send us an email. Encourage us. Lure us out. Right. What did I used to say? Be good, behave, be yourself. That's what I want to say.
There you go.
Bye.
Bye.